House Revenue Committee has been opened by order of the Speaker for the purpose of hearing and working three different bills. One is Senate Bill 31, Senate Bill 283, and House Bill 2671. I'd like to start with 2671, if we could. And Mazin, can you bring us up to date as to where we last met on 2671 and then the issues today at hand?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, last time we heard House Bill 2671 was on April 18th. Today is June 30th. 2 weeks in overtime.
Why don't I remember that? Go ahead, Mark.
The bill, as we discussed it the last time, basically proposes to allow the race meets to have 50 total lottery machines or game terminals. And, of course, all the different requirements and conditions that applied in the past will still apply to these 50. Previously, it would have been only 10. Now, with the bill, as we discussed it last time, it proposes 50. Now, we have, in addition to that, we have an amendment that you should have in your packet, and the amendment is only not even a line, three quarters of a line, from the looks of it, about 81% of a line length.
Really?
And which amendment is that?
This is the dash three, Mr. Chair, and the dash three reduces that number from 50 machines, 50 terminals, to 30 terminals. Now, in your in the previous revenue impact statement that we have seen before, the estimate that we have is about each 40 terminals will produce additional $1.2 million, which means 30 would probably bring $900,000 or so in additional revenue. But of course that might even be more because of the clustering of machines and the different types of the environment that might bring into a higher level of activity. And the fiscal office just delivered to us today a fiscal statement of no fiscal impact on this.
Thank you, Mazin. In going through the file, there were folks that had some concerns about the 50 machines. Do we know anything about the public's response to 30 machines, particularly in relationship to the Human Services had issues regarding problem gambling services folks. The manager was in, Jeff Murata, and has indicated the bill raises the fundamental question, what constitutes a casino? Are you aware the Oregon Constitution prohibits casinos? If the bill were enacted, policy would be established that implies that 50 electronic gaming machines in one establishment is not a casino. Maybe Larry Campbell, are you here to... I think that we had testimony from both Dave Nelson and Larry. So, Dave, if you'd like to come forward, I would invite you to come forward. And did I open? I didn't open a work session. We are in work session on 2671. Please, I'll invite you forward, even though we're in work session, to please testify as to the information which we have in our file. Larry?
Mr. Chairman, you'll recall that we brought an amendment at the time we introduced the bill. And that amendment, the Restaurant Association opposed because they felt that the amendment was unconstitutional. Our review of that amendment was that they were correct in their assumptions, and therefore we are suggesting that the only amendment that you deal with today is the bill in dash 3. And all dash 3 does to the bill is reduces, as Mazin has said, from 50 machines to 30 machines, which we sincerely believe also eliminates any question relative to the casino question. As we've identified in the past, it's relatively easy to add up to that number of machines with a lottery acknowledging and picking new retail sites, so it isn't really an unusual increase in gambling from our perspective. The other thing we'd like to point out is that we originally had 10 machines at Portland Meadows, had 10 machines at the Portland Greyhound track, so we had 20. And in essence, what this will give us is, for Magnet, it'll give us a total of 10 additional machines. It will make 30 machines at one location, but the increase for Magnet would only be 10 machines. So what we would like to ask, Mr. Chairman, is that proceed with moving the bill to the floor of the House, if that's possible, with the Dash 3 amendments included.
Thank you. Dave Nelson, When you were here, you testified relative to the Dash 1, which were opposed by the ORA, maybe you could just bring us up to date. That had some other issues, and then we had a Dash 2 that later came forward.
Chair Butler, members of the committee, the Oregon Restaurant Association, as I recall in that hearing, did oppose the amendment on the basis that the amendment did provide direction to the lottery as its determination of the commission that would be paid to Portland Meadows being the average commission of all retailers. And their objection was that the legislature, the constitutional amendment that created the lottery in the first place, prohibited the legislature from providing that specificity of direction to the lottery commission.
So that would subtract from a constitutional authority. Okay.
Yes. The issue has also been raised by the chair on what level of number of machines constitutes a casino. And I've had that discussion with a number of you. The issue was litigated in the mid-1990s in a case called Ecumenical Ministries, and the result of that decision by the Supreme Court was the determination of what is the dominant purpose and dominant use of the perspective of the proposed facility in which the number of video terminals were located. And I think that was raised over a business called Dottie's Deli. And was Dottie's Deli a deli, or was Dottie's Deli a series of constituted a casino because there was 20 of them or something like that? In the case of Portland Meadows or Multnomah Greyhound Park, their dominant purpose and dominant use has always been and will be racing, and the dominant amount of revenue that circulates through the place comes from the racing activities. And so the 30 video lottery terminals, or even the 50, would not rise to the level of dominant purpose or dominant use in any measure of that criteria.
Okay. Any expression? We had other testimony and other letters of concern, not just from the Department of Human Services relative to problem gambling, but also from other folks that were concerned about casino size of number of machines. Any further discussion with anyone else regarding the 50 versus the 30 machines?
We've had no expressed opposition to the cut, Mr. Chair. I would also offer to the committee that Portland Meadows, as a lottery retailer, is the only organization that I know of in the state that has a gambling interdiction person on staff, or a designated person. I don't know of any bar that operates a video lottery terminal that has a gambling interdiction person or a problem gambling interdiction staff person that is there on the facility all during the course of operation.
So far as you're aware, then the Oregon Quarter Horse Racing Association and the Horsemen's Benevolent Protective Association of Oregon are still supportive of the bill.
That's correct.
Questions of these gentlemen? Colleagues, we have the Dash 3 before us. Dash 3 would move delete from 50 machines and insert 30 machines. Questions? Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Okay, Representative.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2671.
Representative Berger moves the Dash 3 amendments of June 30, 2005 to House Bill 2671. Any discussion of that motion, Representative?
As a maker of the motion, I would like to comment that I appreciate that the value, the economic value of this racetrack. I have personal objections to gambling. That being said, gambling goes on throughout our state. I don't know what constitutes a casino in my own mind. This is something that is left in the hands of the lawyers and the folks that determine these things. But I appreciate that this kind of mixed-use gambling, if I can call it that, goes on throughout the country, and I have no objection to 30. Others will decide if that constitutes a casino.
Thank you.
Further discussion. I'm going to have the clerk call the roll, and the question placed before us is should the Dash 3 amendment be appended to House Bill 2671? Those in favor, please say aye. Vote aye. Those in opposition, no.
Representative Boquist.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Felicio.
Aye.
Representative Comp.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair House?
Aye.
And Chair Butler?
Butler votes aye, and I do so reluctantly. As Representative Berger said, there is a basic opposition to the overall issue of gaming, and we are authorizing an additional 10. While I recognize this is an economic activity, it's also one that these folks have demonstrated some real responsibility in that process. So, House Bill 2671 has been amended with the Dash 3 amendment. Representative Berger?
Yes, I move House Bill 2671 as Dash 3 amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
The motion is to move House Bill 2671 as appended or as amended with the Dash 3 amendments dated 6/30/05 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on that motion? The clerk will call the roll. Those in favor, please vote aye. Those in opposition, vote no, please.
Representative Boquist?
Yes.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Felicio?
Aye.
Representative Comp?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair House?
Aye.
And Chair Butler.
Butler votes no. House Bill 2671, having received a constitutional majority, is passed to the House with a due pass motion. Carrier, Representative Berger has agreed to carry that. We will then move House Bill 2671 as amended today to the House with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I tried this with the Senate. I'll try it with you and see if you bite on it. It was really nice working with you for this session. We'll see you in 2 years. This might be the last time we're here together. Right?
Thanks, man.
Mazin, of all of the fiscal analysts I've ever had, you're surely one of them. Thank you.
You know, blood.
Mrs. Butler has brought a camera, and we're going to stand at ease for a moment, but not too much at ease. a work session on Senate Bill 283. Mary? I'm sorry. Close the work session on House Bill 2671 and open a work session on Senate Bill 283.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 283 has two amendments, and you've had a public hearing on one of the two amendments. But basically, 283, unamended, enabled a limited liability company, an LLC, to qualify for a property tax exemption or special assessment if the LLC is wholly owned by one or more nonprofit qualifying corporations. And 12 qualifying corporations means public benefit nonprofit. There are mutual benefits, so nonprofits, but 12,000 public benefit nonprofit corporations exist in Oregon. And we did an extensive search when this was on the Senate side and found no one that would be taxed at the present time. And the reason for that is that testimony on the Senate side pointed out that there's already an avoidance mechanism for this, because if a nonprofit has to get this exemption, all it really has to do is form not an LLC, but another subcorporation. And that's what they're doing. But this is a simpler method. And so they're asking for the LLC to get the exemption. And that's why there was no impact after we reviewed the data. The second, the Dash 1 amendment, you reviewed at the first public hearing, and it will lower the existing 70% residency requirement to 50% for certification of a long-term facility as a nursing facility, assisted living facility, or residential care facility.
Mary, because the Dash 2 amendments also are available to us on Senate Bill 31, let's not work the Dash 2 on Senate Bill 283, but consider those over on 31. So the Dash 1
is
the only amendment before us today.
Fine, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
So, and I revised the revenue estimate because on the second piece, in the Dash 1 amendment, I revised the estimate from being negligible to being a small amount, $130,000, based on data that I received after we had testimony during the public hearing that one facility located in... Yes, it failed to meet that criteria. And then I called the gentleman who testified and asked him what the amount was, and he gave me the data. And so I've revised the impact.
Okay. Questions of Ms. Ayala regarding the Dash 1 amendment? Let's see. The date of the Dash 1 amendment is May the 2nd, 2005. And you've got the SNS. Any further questions regarding the Dash 1 amendment? Is there any objections? I'll make a motion to append the Dash 1 amendment. Is there any objection to appending the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 283? Hearing and seeing none, we will append the Dash 1 dated 5205 to Senate Bill 283. With that, it's my proposal that 283 is as it should go to the floor, and I don't think that there's any other action on it at this point. So we just need to set aside the information on the two, because that same amendment, the number two amendment, shows up for Senate Bill 31, and that in consultation with Senator Deckert, that's where I told him I would go ahead and feed that in. So,
okay.
With that, colleagues, Representative Berger moves Senate Bill 283 with the Dash 1 amendment appended to it to the floor with a do pass motion. Is there any objection? No further discussion or objection? Seeing no objection and hearing no objection, Senate Bill 283 with the Dash 1 amendment will move to the floor with a do pass motion. Carrier? Who hasn't? I'm not going to carry any more bills from this committee. I already got stung with that. Representative Olson?
No, I don't
good.
Care.
Thank you. Representative Olson will carry that to the floor, and we will close the work session on Senate Bill 283. Thank you, Mary. Thank you very kindly. Appreciate it. Thank you. And we hope it isn't 2 years until we see Mazna and Mary and the rest of the crew. We'll work with you on the interim, we hope.
I thought that's
a long ways from now.
I thought you were hoping for a special session.
No. We'll work. Our first meeting in the interim will be a long ways from now. So. Okay. Having closed the work session on Senate Bill 283, we will open a work session on Senate Bill 31. Is Elizabeth available? Okay, thank you. We'll stand at ease for just a moment. Let's stand at ease for just a moment and we'll roll up. Senate Bill 31. And colleagues, since we have last met, there's a lot of things that have happened to Senate Bill 31. A lot of folks have had amendments prepared. It's not my intention to consider a great deal of those. Some have already gotten up and run elsewhere. The dash 8s are in another place. The dash 9s are in another place. I'm not sure. At any rate, Mary, maybe you can bring us up to date, please, if you would.
Chairman Butler, just so everyone's clear, I did give you a summary page, so everybody has that, just because I know at the last meeting we kind of were confused who was bringing what amendments and why were we already up to 16 or whatever we were there the last time. So I just kind of tried to summarize them there, and you know, I've basically said a lot of them were preliminary. A lot of them actually dealing with this very narrow corporate sales throwback exemption. So there's some various attempts to make that narrow, and that's been quite difficult. So we finally arrived at the dash 16, and that is the finally agreed upon amendment providing that corporate tax sales throwback exemption for certain warehouses. And again, Department of Revenue and Bob Russell and stuff were working on that. And so that is a very narrow exemption, and we do have basically a narrowing of the scope. So it's just the sales throwback exemption to certain taxpayers with their sole activity in Oregon is storage of goods in a public warehouse or storing goods in a public warehouse in the presence of employees within this state solely for the purposes of soliciting sales of the taxpayers' products. So we had some concerns last time when we were hearing preliminary, I think it was a dash 6, on this concept that you didn't want manufacturers to then be able to take advantage of this and have their sales thrown back from other states through a public warehouse. So as you can see there, you basically, if you have Nexus here in the state of Oregon, you would not be able to get your corporate tax sales throwback exemption through a public warehouse as it is drafted in this dash 16. And then it also still has that provision where the Department of Revenue has the ability to determine if a warehouse meets the definition of public warehouse and is not used for tax avoidance purposes. And then this begins tax year on or after January 1st, 2006. So this amendment, the dash 16, is minimal. in the future.
Okay. I'd like to have Deborah Buchanan come forward because there were a number of tax issues that were related to this, and we did have some concern that this might be utilized for tax avoidance. I just want to make certain that the department concurs that we've overcome the concerns there.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. I believe so, Mr. Chairman. I think that this is narrow enough that it will not allow an Oregon corporation or someone with property and payroll in the state to avoid counting the throwback sales, but it will allow an out-of-state corporation to have a little more presence in the state without including throwback sales in apportionment factor.
Specifically affording them the opportunity to use basically consignment space in the state of Oregon from which to both store and ship their sales.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Deborah. And thank you for the good work that you and Elizabeth have done on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions relative to the Dash 16 amendments which are being requested, which allow this limited opportunity for Oregon corporations warehousing to represent these storage and warehousing and sales shipping let's see. Representative Berger,
can you move the Dash 16 amendments to Senate Bill 51?
The motion is to move the Dash 16 amendments from June 16th, 05, to Senate Bill 31. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? The Dash 16 amendment to Senate Bill 31 is appended by acclamation of the group, unanimous, and we are all present. So, with that, my understanding that the Dash 8, the Dash 9 are of no further force or effect. The Dash 15, I need you to discuss the 15 and 17, and the proponents of those two amendments are not here today. Colleagues,
Energy is here.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Representative West or Senator Westland was going to be here, so I beg your pardon. Yeah, let's go ahead and have the Dash 15.
Yeah, and Chairman Butler, we have heard the Dash 15 already, but this is basically expanding that residential energy tax credit to taxpayers who purchase those large solar electric systems.
Right.
And so it's just really increasing that credit amount, the total credit limit on residential energy tax credits per solar electric system to $3 per watt of installed output up to 2,000 watts or $6,000 in the credit amount. Then it is limiting that total amount of the tax credit for the electric systems to not exceed 50% of the installed cost of the solar electric system. And then it retains the current law annual limit of each year you can only take $1,500. So you would take this over 4 years as far as the total $6,000 of the credit. It begins tax year 2006. So as far as the revenue impact, you have that, but it is not... it begins in 2007-09 biennium, and the reason why it's small is just because we're already seeing the taxpayers are purchasing some of these larger solar electric systems, or they're purchasing various segments and then adding them on each year in order to still get a tax credit. And all this is really doing is lengthening out. So they only have to purchase one, and then they lengthen out the usage of that tax credit over 4 more years. So the revenue impact in 2007-09 biennium is $524,251, and then the 2009-11 biennium a reduction of $786,231.
Is there questions of staff?
And this is the same, so everyone's clear, too, as Senate Bill 733, and we have heard that already in the Senate once, too.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I had thought that Senator Westland wanted to be here, but as you're right, we have already heard these amendments. Sorry. Next week I'll get organized. Representative Berger, dash 15.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move the dash 15 amendments to Senate Bill 31. I'm seriously reading the SMS here.
Okay. The SMS.
I don't believe it was here when this was filed.
Okay. I only recall that it was dividing it up over the 4 years. Any members getting solar panels by any chance on the?
We'll talk about this right after we have this.
Yeah. Yes, I won't qualify it. I'm the guy to talk to about when a store puts up a sale. It's right after I walk out of the door.
And I appreciate your good-natured response to that. Representative Hass did share with me afterwards that he had already proceeded with a solar conservation issue at his own home.
I did move the 15s.
Okay.
Buying a wood chipper next week.
He didn't tell you he's buying mine.
Representative Berger has moved the dash 15 amendments. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection to the dash 15 amendments to Senate Bill 31? Hearing and seeing no objection, recognizing Representative Olson is in hearing room D for a few moments on other legislative business and will be excused. We will append the dash 15 amendments dated June 16th, 05 to Senate Bill 31. So ordered.
So, Chairman Butler, do you want me to just briefly talk about the dash 17?
Talk about them, and then, colleagues, I've asked for, because the proponent is not here with us today, that this be carried over until 1 o'clock tomorrow so the proponent can be here and represent those amendments. If you would, please.
Yes, Chairman Butler, you've already seen this amendment. It came in the form of House Bill 3454A and Gross, what you passed out of House Revenue. So it is exempting from property tax tangible or intangible property rights related to Pacific Northwest AC Intertie as referenced between the United States Department of Energy and any city of any state. It applies to tax years beginning whenever these agreements were executed or beginning on or after July 1st, 2005. So you have the same revenue impact on this that you had for House Bill 3454A. And so basically this is just dealing with property taxes. There's no state taxes, but it's a reduction in property tax revenue of roughly in 2005-07 by Yanningham of $4.63 million, and then there's and this is due to the court case and stuff, and that's why you see this non-recurring portion in 2005-07 biennium of negative $3.8 million, and then recurring in future bienniums in 2007-09 biennium of a reduction of $0.85
million. Questions?
Yes, Representative Berger.
I don't have... is it 3454?
Yes, it is 3454.
Before me, Elizabeth, it essentially identical to what we passed in 3454? There's no changes or any other...
Correct.
Little bits and pieces in there?
That's right, no. It has not changed from 3454, and I don't know if there's other amendments that the proponent wants or not, but that's what this dash 17 is.
Yes, Representative Hass.
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious as to why if we've already passed it, why it amended the Senate bill.
That's a very excellent question, and I would like really the proponents behind the Northwest Intertie issue to be able to come forward, and the proponents behind 3454 to be able to state their case. This has gone over to the Senate side. 3454 is in the Senate revenue. And what's happened is in the Senate revenue, there's a series of three sets of folks now trying to get onto that in the Senate, and it may load it down to the point where there's some concern in the governor's office that the additional load up may cause some problems on the bill. So I would like to have an opportunity to have those folks come and testify. However, if you felt inclined to move it today, that would represent.
Sure, I carried this on the floor once already.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
I mean,
right.
It appears to me you're saying the explanation is that, you know, someone's jumping on the bandwagon on the other side, and so therefore it's likely not to move. I think that's what you're saying, isn't it?
I don't know whether it's not likely to move, but it's likely to get loaded down. If all of the amendments are added to it on the Senate side, 3454 may not. We don't know that. They were still trying to get confirmation from, I guess it's Peter Cogswell upstairs, as to whether or not the three series of folks that were trying to crawl on would cause it some additional. And there is one amendment that is being considered, another amendment on 3454 being considered in the Senate, which would just say, if you own no property in the state of Oregon, no tangible property, have no employees in the state of Oregon, then you could be exempt from the intangibles tax that's associated with the intertie. And that would also solve it for some of the people, and it wouldn't for other of the people. And that might be the best solution, but it may create even an additional problem. And again, those are amendments on a bill that aren't before us right now. That Representative Hatsford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One concern might be that if that bill or this amendment is drawing, you know, a fire, then would it possibly put Senate Bill 31 into jeopardy? What with the things I think we do need to do, the throwback, the solar credit.
Absolutely, and I think at this late date, there's always that potential for jeopardy. However, I think that in conference with Senator Deckert, Chair Deckert, and I don't want to mischaracterize what his position is, he felt like that with the number of amendments that are presently outstanding on 3454, by moving 3454 into this bill, we would probably still be in a conference committee and would then have a discussion between the House and the Senate in a conference as to whether or not the policy of avoiding the tax or foregoing the tax on an intangible for public utilities or for cities that had no or other municipalities outside of the state of Oregon that had no property in Oregon should be addressed at that particular time. So while I do not believe that this kills the bill, I believe that it does move it to a conference committee. And I don't want to mischaracterize what this could do. This could jeopardize some of it if we were to decide on Friday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, that the House would go into a sine die recess of 3 days at a time. That could jeopardize it also. And I'm anxious about that. But at the same time, I would like to have the proponent have an opportunity to make the case for the Dash 17, unless you felt like that you were ready to move them and recognize that. It passed out of committee. Passed out of committee 9-0 last time. Mm-hmm. Representative, did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to say, let's move it.
Okay, Representative Riley moves the Dash 17 amendments to House or Senate Bill 31. further discussion on the motion. Sir, objection to the motion. Hearing and seeing no objection, recognizing Representative Olson is excused. The Dash 17 amendment is appended to Senate Bill 31, and the date of the Dash 17 is dated 6/20. Representative Berger moves Senate Bill 31 as amended, with the amendments today being Dash 17, Dash 15, and Dash 16. To the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing no objection, Senate Bill 31 is moved to the House floor with a due pass motion as amended, and all members are present. Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Thank you very much. Well, I guess we won't meet tomorrow. With that, I close the work session and close the meeting. Anything else?